Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Newsrooms don't show us everything. They definitely don't, and they can't. But who decides what makes the bulletin and what makes the news? And when does curation become news distortion? This morning, we wanted to chat to journalist Paula Slea. Paula, good morning. Thank you for joining us. Hope you're well.
I'm well. Thanks, Howard. And I'm glad you think I'm sensible.
Well, it's a low benchmark because I was comparing it to Mukundi.
Oh, okay.
So I'm sorry.
And there I was feeling so good about myself.
There we go. You came here for a boost. I apologize. So, Paula, you and I have had this conversation about, especially about South African news, about South African media gatekeeping, agenda setting. How serious a problem do you think it is in South Africa? And then once you've said that, then I want to go back and say, well, what is it that we're talking about? What are the practices that are problematic?
Howard, I think we can expand it to globally. I think it's a huge problem in South Africa, and I think it's a huge problem in the world. And the journalism industry is really struggling to get a grip on things. I mean, I don't know if you're aware, but false news travels 6 times faster than true news. And people are 70% more likely to retweet something that is false than something that's factual. So there's this urgent need to have what's called digital literacy for people to be able to understand what they can believe and what is true. And then you have misinformation and disinformation, information that's either deliberately put out there or information that is not necessarily deliberately false, but along the way is exaggerated and ends up having the same effect. And then all of that with the coming and the rise of deep fake and AI. I mean, I've been chatting to people who say that in 5 years' time, AI will be at a that we won't be able to tell the difference between something that is AI generated and something that is not.
Yeah, and I think it'll be even less than that, because when I go onto Instagram and I look at a video, I know that some people can tell. I can't sometimes. Obviously, the ones that aren't as good quality, you can, but it is getting harder and harder to tell. But let's just take it to how a newsroom functions. I remember having an argument with a news editor here in South Africa where I said to him, if you don't, and it was particularly about Israel, if you don't cover Hezbollah firing thousands of rockets on Israeli towns over a period of a year, but only cover Israel's retaliation when Israel goes into the area, you have misled your readers, your listeners, and it didn't, that point didn't resonate. But to me, it was such a simple example of how if you're only reporting one side of aggression, for example, you're creating a false impression. Is that misrepresentation, disinformation, misinformation? What is that?
It's hard to say. I think it's both. I mean, I think you certainly get newsrooms that have a very specific agenda. And I would go so far as to argue that just about every newsroom, in fact, every newsroom has an agenda. It might not be the pro-Israel, the pro-Palestinian agenda, but it might be an agenda on other topics. Having said that, your journalists themselves, particularly your younger journalists, might not be consciously aware of what their newsroom is doing to present a particular point of view. So, for example, you mentioned only showing one side of the story. You could have a newsroom, Let's Talk Israel, that shows both sides of the story, but could, for example, and here you've given the example of where does it start, where you actually have reversal of cause and effect, where the story starts after Israel responds. And it might seem accurate when it goes out or when it's published, but it's not in terms of context. You have, for example, when it comes to Israel, false moral equivalence, where you draw a false balance between Israel and Hamas and say that both are equal. So your journalist per se might not be aware that those are the techniques that are being used. But I would say that at some level, particularly at a management level, there has to be a consciousness around what they're doing. In fact, I'm talking about it today. We have a session with Orjet from 9:30 to 11 at Sasfin Holdings in West Street, Sandton. And anyone's welcome. And there are two areas I'm going to be addressing. The one is how to spot media bias in coverage of Israel. So that's just general things. And it doesn't have to be only about Israel. It's learning to make ourselves more media literate. So for example, where the photo is, I think where the photo is placed on the page. I think a lot of this maybe instinctively people know, but maybe it's useful to actually make one aware of it. Things like how you caption, what you say in your caption. Do you use loaded words, don't you? And then second to that are specific media tactics that I believe are being used to discredit and silence pro-Israel voices. And those would be things like weaponizing Jewish voices, where you'll get Jewish people who are in the minority and say, well, even Jews believe this, even Jewish groups are protesting against Israel. And then there's a whole list of ways that the media is deliberately, and again, you asked me if it's misinformation or disinformation. I would argue that on some level, it's deliberate, so it's disinformation. And maybe on a lot of levels, and this is maybe where your average journalist comes in, it might just be misinformation. They're not even realizing that they're using those tools. But Howard, I think the point I want to make is that I don't think we can really change the newsrooms per se. We can hold them to book. We can point out their mistakes. But it's a huge job. And I think parallel to that, what we need to be doing is as consumers of media, as readers, as viewers, we need to make ourselves more literate so that when we watch something, we have some kind of understanding. For example, if something is exaggerated, there's a whole list of tools of how we can understand the media better.
In other words, empower ourselves. Don't think that the responsibility lies only with the media houses. Absolutely brilliant. And that talk really does sound amazing.